B-Pod Studios.
The Bat. Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on Twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Boston Bruins are going to collect their seventh consecutive win. This is a black and gold freight train. Icing is waved off. Johansson back of the net. The last time they won this many playoff games in a row, you have to go back to 1972. And the horn sounds. Tuukka Rask closes out the series with another shutout. The Boston Bruins are headed to the Stanley Cup Final for the third time this decade. They sweep the Carolina Hurricanes in four straight. And for the first time since 1990, the Boston Bruins will start the Stanley Cup Final in Boston.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. That, of course, is the sound of the Bruins sweeping the one fan base that I truly, viscerally hate. If you want to see the Bruins who have had a long layoff, you can see them over there at the TD Garden. It's only $20 to get in. And the proceeds go to the Boston Bruins Foundation. Joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline is the coach of the Boston Bruins, Mr. Bruce Cassidy. Hello, sir.
Gentlemen, how are we today?
We are doing well. And is this just some kind of money grab? Or, is there a reason?
It sounds like it, isn't it? Yeah.
Or is there a method to this scrimmage tonight?
Well, we were trying to fill a long, I guess, 8-9 days. So I talked to Donnie about maybe replicating a game, and we kind of came up with this. And, you know, have come in the morning like a typical game day, go over a little video. We didn't know if the series would be over. Now we know, obviously, we can work on St. Louis. And then play a game at night at the Garden or even here at Warrior, just kind of get back into it. And, you know, we decided to use the Garden and then it's kind of taken on a life of its own from there with the fans. I think it's great for them to get in, see some live hockey. Obviously, it's going to be a controlled scrimmage. It's not going to be too physical, but hopefully good pace, good compete, get something out of it. And sort of get back in the mindset of going to work.
Yeah, they've already sold 11,000 tickets. So
wow,
that's, really?
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, a lot
of
people going. Is that because you're kind of in a tough spot if you want to do this scrimmage and you don't want them to lose that edge from playing and coming off of like another victory, and but you also don't want to get out there and play too physical because you don't want anybody injured. Like, what do you say to the players to kind of keep them in that place between keeping the edge and staying aggressive and, hey, let's not break anybody bones out there?
Well, I think the guys that have been here all year, the guys through the playoffs will be fine. We've had the guys from Providence who've been working hard down there in case of emergency. Those are the guys who just have to make sure that, hey, that, you know, get the message across that we're watching you in case we need you, but we don't want you to take a guy out so you can get in the Stanley Cup playoffs either here. So I think they'll be fine in that regard. I mean, we have practiced and we'll have some compete drills in practice, not all of them, but certainly some of them where there's physicality required, one-on-one, two-on-twos, three-on-three low, et cetera. So, there is that in practice anyway. The guys know where to draw the line. They're not going to run guys from behind. But they are going to battle for the puck, and we got to get back into that in that mode and quickly.
Do you remember when Robbins fought McQuaid in like a scrimmage?
Yes, I do. I think I was coaching one of the teams. I think that was the year of the lockout, right? We came up. I was in Providence then.
Yeah.
And played them before their year started. Yeah. Yeah. So there's no repeat of that, hopefully.
Because I just thought it was interesting as Robbins was just like, screw it, I'm going to fight McQuaid.
No, he's fighting for a job. I need to get someone to pay attention.
You know
to me.
What? If you're in front of, I bet you this thing sells out. And if you're in front of a sellout crowd, you want to put on a show. So that's the way you do it. You got to take someone out.
Yeah, well, yeah. We got to guard against the adrenaline getting pumped up too much. But well, like I said, well, hopefully the guys are smart enough to know what's at stake here, and we can avoid some of that stuff. But listen, there's always risk, no doubt. But there's risk in practice too. So either way, you got to deal with that.
All right, Bruce, how do you deal with a hot goaltender during this break? Like, is nobody talking to Tuukka right now?
No, I just saw him in there. Bergie's chatting with him over breakfast, to be honest with you, so that's a bad rumor.
Okay.
I just imagine it being like a pitcher in the middle of a no-hitter, where you just don't want to say anything to the guy or get in his head. But Tuca's a different kind of goalie, isn't he? Like, I mean, they were even joking last night after the San Jose game. They were saying that, you know, Tuca's probably not even thinking about hockey right now. He's one of the few guys who can completely detach himself from the game and get away from it.
Yeah, listen, I believe that. He doesn't seem any different to me. He's, you know, kind of going about his routine. Got upset in practice the other day. Someone bumped into him. That's pretty typical. Goalies don't like that. And then just went in and stopped the puck again. So I haven't seen a big difference. Obviously, you know, listen, he was on fire and hopefully stays on fire going into the finals. I don't see any reason why he won't, but that's always a concern, right, coming out of that long break. But listen, they won last night, so they got six days too. I mean, I think both teams are going to have a level of rust, but I think they'll shake it off pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, is there's been a debate, regardless of opponent, if it was San Jose or St. Louis, I don't want to get if anyone bulletin board material, but you would rather have them have the 6 days off than go seven games and get beat up a little bit? You're happier that there is this time and it gives you time to prepare?
Well, you know, either way, it's out of our control, right? Seven games, it's one more game that key players could get banged up or... But this way, they have to deal with some of what we're going through St. Louis now, where they're going to have some time off. They're not as much, but still. So for me, I have no strong opinion. We're going to get who we're going to get. It's more about us. Let's be ready to go. Both, obviously, you make it this far. They're good teams. I do think St. Louis is a bit our twin. When you watch them, they're very similar to us. San Jose, a little different style of play. So, but we're comfortable. We feel good against, obviously, whoever had advanced. It's St. Louis now. Should be a great series. We just want to, like I said, the rest is good for us. I do believe that. Like, there was a lot of talk about, I really think this time of year, guys getting a little time off is fine, and we'll be ready to go on Monday.
Okay, so you talk about, like, you know, goaltender getting back into it. St. Louis has had a red-hot goaltender, but not a lot of experience. If you talk and you're thinking about a young goalie in this kind of situation, how does that time off, do you think, affect them?
Well, I don't know the answer to be honest with you. I wish I could tell you that they're going to come out. I'll tell you this. What happened with, and here's just a little bit of what I think could happen, is Columbus, you know, they win their first playoff series ever. They have a lot of time off, right? They beat Tampa, so they're sitting around for a week in Columbus. Everyone's telling them how great they are, and, you know, they come out, and, you know, they were fine coming out of the game. I think they were sloppy in the first period, and they were okay, but... we end up getting the best of them. And Carolina, the same, right? They sweep, and now it's like, geez, the team hasn't been this far, so the town's excited. And, you know, all of a sudden, they, you know, they're going to find their game in the second period. So I really believe that teams can find it fairly quickly. I think St. Louis will go through the same thing. They're going to be reading about how good they are for the next 5-6 days and back to the Stanley Cup. The last time they were there was against us, ironically. So, but I believe they'll find their game. I mean, teams are playing well this time of year, so they've got enough leadership over there that eventually you're going to find it, and usually sooner rather than later. So it's like us. I really don't believe it's going to take us long. We're going to lose a few puck battles early just because you're not used to battling, and then you're going to get knocked on your ass, and all of a sudden you're back into it. So that's usually the way it works.
What do you remember about playing these guys? You played them twice after they turned things around. I think you only faced Bennington once, but it's been 3 months since you've seen them.
Yeah, like I said, I think they're a lot like us. I mean, they play four lines. Their fourth line is a good checking line. They've got top-end skill. Obviously, Schwartz is on fire. Tarasenko's can be a Riley's like a Bergie, you know, good two-way guy. Their third line plays in all situations like we've used Coyle. Their D's bigger than ours. That is one difference. Our guys can move the puck, but they're bigger. Goaltending advantage, I think, listen, they like their goalies playing well, but I think Tuca's the better of the two. I'm biased in that way, obviously. You know, you got two teams that had real good second halves, known for, you know, physical play, but both can skate. So I really believe they're very similar to us. When we went up there, it was a 1-1 game, went into the shootout at home here. I think we scored late to win, so should be a lower scoring, heavy series, but I guess till we get out there, we'll see. But that's kind of what I see out of them right now.
All right, so David Backes was out early in the playoffs. I don't believe you've lost, right?
Yeah, I think they're undefeated. You guys are undefeated since he's back, right?
Since Backes has been back in. What made you make the change, and what has he done? I know he's been limited in minutes, but what has he done to make the teams help make the team this successful?
Well, on the ice, you know, he's been physical. He's gotten to the net front. He's finished a few plays, made a few plays. His minutes are down simply, usually because of special teams. He's not on the penalty kill on the second power play since Johansson came over. We've used him and Coyle more than David, so we lost some ice time there. He's been real good in the room, obviously. We've said that all along. We love David as a pro, the intangibles he brings. We put in Kuhlman early on, a little more foot speed. When all the forwards were healthy, we find that Backes, Achari, and Wagner have some similar qualities, so we just made a decision we weren't going to play them all every night, and David was the odd man out for a few nights, so obviously he found his way back in. We're undefeated with him. In hindsight, maybe I should have been playing him all along if that's the case, but at the end of the day, we liked what they've all brought, but that's what David brings. I think there's an urgency. I think the biggest thing he's brought is the urgency to win a cup. I mean, he's 34 years old. He's been a lot of years in the NHL, so that little extra push right now this time of year is what separated him from the other guys.
You know, he lives off of Main Road.
Fred, I had a discussion with Billy Chaffee about this. Yeah.
This guy makes $5 billion. He lives on a Main Road. All right, so...
I did not know that.
Yeah, well, Fred will give you his address if you want it.
Well, listen, I tend to follow the players home. All right, so he lives by me. My house more valuable. But so Bruce, he's going back to St. Louis. Obviously, this is a huge thing for him. Does this add it? And no BS. Like, it's not. I'm not doing this to be corny, but, you played. Is there some intrinsic thing that happens, like when you're in the Stanley Cup Finals and you're facing, a team that you had so much success with?
Well, I certainly didn't play at his level, and I do believe there he'll be certainly much more motivated, hopefully not distracted, because I'm sure he's got a lot of family and friends there. He's a captain of that team, so I'm sorry, not family, but a lot of good friends, good relationships. But at the end of the day, I think he would. There's probably a little more motivation simply because he left there. But only he can answer that. I think that the motivation is pretty clear for him at this stage in his career. He wants to get his name on the cup. He's never been this close. So I don't think it would matter who he's playing. But, yeah, I believe there's a little more juice when you play a team that used to be a big part of. And there's some familiarity over there that we'll tap into as well. He should know a little bit of the ins and outs of what's going on over there in their locker room, what players, some tendencies, et cetera. But at the end of the day, when the puck drops, I think some of that goes by the wayside. But for the most part, we got a very motivated guy.
So, Bruce, you were saying the other day that for this time off, you were going to reach out to some of the other coaches here in town and see how they handled it. Who did you speak with, or did you get to speak to anybody as far as any of those guys?
Yeah, I'm going to keep that in-house, but I spoke to both the football team and the baseball team, and I've had conversations with the basketball team, so I'll let you figure it out from there. But I don't want to kind of get into all our conversations because that's private, but they've been very good to share whatever they can, very supportive, and it's been great for me we practice different than a football team, right? They're typically used to having a week off, long stretches. They have that, long window of preparation for us. It's a little different, but at the end of the day, there's the mental side of it. I think is important, how to keep players, on their toes and don't let their mind drift and get their focus back. So I think that was more the discussion than anything. Even some players in town, ex-players that played in the Stanley Cup playoffs that had some time off. How did they react? So we tried to do as much due diligence in that area and then put our schedule together, and we'll see how it works out.
Can I just ask if Belichick was receptive? Because I just imagine him getting any phone call and hearing a voice and immediately hanging up.
I got to tell you, terrific, terrific guy. Very insightful. And it was great. I really appreciate it.
He just saves the grimace for the public, I guess. Then.
You're part of the circle now.
That's a good point.
You're part of the circle of trust, I guess.
Yeah. And then he talked to Brad Wanamaker from the
Brad Wanamaker, of course. Right. Like a point guard. Sure. So there was one thing. You talked the other day about how things have changed since you played. And I found it interesting because you colored a pretty clear picture about things like the pregame skates. And you had some cases back in the day where things weren't quite as courteous back then as they are now, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that was, I mean, junior hockey, you went through that quite a bit, you know, especially the rivalries. There was always, I'm not going to say there was a, but in playoffs, or there was flat out brawls, just because every team had six or seven tough guys. They'd fire a puck at the other goalie, or they'd take their net. I remember hearing a story about the Western League. They just went down and grabbed the other team's net. So how do you warm up your goalie? You know, we had one Ottawa and Oshawa. I remember it was probably in 84. We had a good rivalry. Now, it wasn't full scale in the stands, whatever, but there was two or three fights, and that stuff kind of went on for a while. And looking back, it's kind of ridiculous to think about it, but that was hockey back then, and I think it's been a long time. Obviously, they've taken care of that, but yeah, there were some good stories about warm-up way back then.
So this is Slapshot-esque before the puck even drops.
I mean, it wasn't a regular occurrence, but it happened, you know, periodically, and I think I don't know if there's footage of that stuff back then, because what they do now, I believe that's what, you know, was the impetus to film warm-ups, so that if this stuff went on, they could like take care of it. But, you know, back then, they didn't know that, people assumed who started, but it was, you know, kind of your word against theirs, and off they went. So
what's the weirdest thing that was ever thrown on the ice while you were in juniors or you were in the minors?
Good question. I'll tell you what did happen. Not thrown on the ice, but I was playing in the Memorial Cup, which is, you know, the junior championship from all three leagues, from Western Canada, Ontario, and Quebec. We're playing in Kitchener, and we're from Ottawa and Kitchener were in the same. We're both from Ontario, so we both got in, and we're beating them. And this big guy that was in Kitchener, he used to be a big fan, and he was, you know, fairly regular there, and he'd be barking at either us or the ref. And so one day we're beating them, and he reaches over and suckers the ref. Just the glass is lower back then, right? So anyway, I couldn't believe it. Like, honestly, I know it sounds like we're a bunch of Neanderthals up there, but it was unbelievable. I was like, wow. And when he knocked him down, he got up. He wasn't out cold, but it was like he got up, and it, anyway, I couldn't believe what I just saw. But anyway.
Was the guy even kicked out?
Yes. He got escorted out. I do remember that. But anyway, and to this day, I'll never forget that. I was like, wow, guy was upset over something.
All right, well, hopefully something like that happens tomorrow.
It'd be great.
someone physically attacks an official. You can see this thing is going to sell out, I believe, because $20 to get in. You can get those tickets. It's a 7 o'clock scrimmage after this long layoff. Bruce Cassidy, it's always a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for the time.
All right, fellas, thanks for having me.
And we didn't have to dump you once.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
That's good. I'm getting better, eh? Some training.
You're media savvy now, sir. Thank you.
See you, Bruce.
All right, there you go.
He's always phenomenal.
Best interview in
always
town?
Phenomenal.
He's a good interview.
Every time.
Good interview.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And if you've been watching the Eastern Conference Finals when they're in Toronto, you get to see Drake.
Oh, Jesus.
And I have no idea, none, why. And Giannis's agent was like, what the hell is going on?
I think that Mike Budenholzer actually even said something. The coach,
yeah, Budenholzer was like, "All right, there are lines there for a reason."
Yeah,
you know,
at least
Spike Lee's on the other side of the floor doing his stuff.
Spike Lee stands up and like yells at opposing players. He doesn't give the coach a massage and then go into like huddles.
Well, Spike Lee walks onto the court, so I mean, Spike Lee is as big of an offender as anybody.
Not Drake.
He doesn't go in there and start going into huddles and touching people.
Yeah, so if you didn't see it, what Drake did the other day is he went behind the Raptors coach, Nutter, what's his name?
Nick Nurse.
Nick Nurse, Nutter, I don't know.
Nick Close Nurse enough.
Went behind him and, like, at one point was so excited that he, like, grabbed his shoulders and, like, shook him and then, like, walked away.
No, he rubbed his shoulders. He massaged his shoulders.
Okay, yeah.
It's a weird thing.
And no, remember, it's he not got a in... weird thing. It's unacceptable.
Of course, and then
why,
he got into it
Drake,
with
Drake, who,
Kendrick
by
Perkins
the way, is steals... a lot of his material, and he was on Degrassi Junior High, and is a total poser. I don't, and horrible for the history of hip hop. I don't understand for a second why he's allowed to get that involved. Is it because it's Toronto?
Is he a part owner? I thought he was a part minority owner.
He is. He's got some sort. Matter of fact, he got in trouble for talking about another player one time because he has a little bit of an ownership. Right.
Okay, so fine. He owns 1% of the team or 0.5%.
Whatever it is, but he technically is a part owner.
But the owners don't. Wick Grosbeck doesn't get to go out there and do somersaults on the court. I don't understand why that's allowed. Just because he's an average rapper. That he's allowed to go do whatever the hell he wants?
I don't think it's allowed. I think he just does it.
Well, then in Laker games, they should just clear the stands and have everyone go out.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
Anthony Kiedis and Flea should just go out there and start humping in the middle of the court.
Well, people have spoken out about it. And as I said, it's become an issue. I mean, it was so blatant, him just walking over and in the middle
like,
of the game.
Like, who has the balls
the
to, like, do that? Why, just mind your own business. And you know he's not doing it because he's, quote-unquote, excited. He's doing it to show, like, hey, look at
he's
what I can
get away with. He's an entitled ass, is what he is.
No, he's showing what he's doing is he's showing, trying to show how important he is because he can just walk around and get involved with the team and start. Imagine if your coach of the Raptors he starts rubbing your shoulders, you should have elbowed him in the chest. Said, get the hell away from me. What's he going to do about it? What's Drake going to do? Fight you?
Well, hopefully he leaves. That would make your team play better. I mean, he is a curse.
I get it. You're from Toronto. Fantastic. You like the team. Go in, you know, cheer and stand up from your seat. And can you imagine if you have to sit next to this prick and then he's running around like an idiot, giggling and wearing stupid jeans?
You've never seen Donnie Wahlberg jump over and just take Brad Stevens and shake him around a little bit?
I think Donnie Wahlberg would get arrested. Yeah. I don't think Donnie Wahlberg.
You're not Mark. You're going to jail.
Yeah, I don't think that he is the cashier. Well, you wouldn't be able to see Mark Wahlberg because he'd be blocked by the coach. Any coach, he would just be like mysteriously behind them.
Yeah, I mean that's something that it's become an issue, and it's not something he can get away with, and it's something that is not allowed. And Budenholzer spoke up about it. I mean, if you're a coach on the other side, you're like, I don't want any jackasses coming up to me in the middle of a game. I know it was obviously I wasn't the guy he did it to, but we should not set that precedent. We should not let the world know that, hey, this is okay for someone, no matter who it is, anybody to come up and grab a coach during the actual play of the game.
I mean, there's far more famous people than Drake. That I'm sure go to sporting events where they don't feel the need to hump the coach during it. And by the way, this is the agent of Giannis. He says, imagine a gig and an athlete on VIP seats right next to the band stands up on stage just to show off during the entire game, knowing cameras are on him, occasionally even massaging the singer. Security and him both allow it. Never seen anything as disrespectful as this before.
Yeah, Mike Budenholzer said, I will say again, I see it in some timeouts, but I don't know of any person that's attending the game that isn't particular in the game, like a coach, I'm sorry, a player or a coach that has access to the court. I don't know how much he's on the court. It sounds like you guys are saying it's more than I realize. There's certainly no place for fans, and you know whatever it is exactly that Drake is for the Toronto Raptors. You know, to be on the court, there's boundaries and lines for a reason. And like I said, the league is usually pretty good at being on top of stuff like that. I mean,
so Westbrook gets to freak out at a kid because he had the nerve to poke him.
Well, that was.
But Drake can do somersaults and pee all over everyone and get away with it. And what really pisses me off is that he's doing it specifically to show you that he can. It is not a visceral reaction. It is not something that it's all planned. He knows what he can do. He walks around like an idiot. And I'm telling you, at Lakers games and Knicks games, they should just let everyone flood the court.
Yeah,
it should look like the end of that Stanford game. They should just all on the court, and you have to avoid them.
Budenholzer continued like the next day. He said, "You can't help but occasionally see Drake just going into timeouts or in and out of timeouts, whether he's encouraging or cheering for Toronto. You know, trying to talk to referees. To say I don't see it at all would be inaccurate, but to say I don't give it much or any thought, you know, it's just kind of the same answer, same mantra. I just tend to ignore it and focus on our team, focus on whatever it needs to be doing. In other words, I don't really want to get mixed up in this, but what he's doing is pretty a-hole-ish. Talking to a ref, can you imagine that? Like having a discussion with a referee because you didn't agree with the call? It's not like yelling it from the stands, like walking up to the referee and discussing it.
Let's go here to...
And I do like what Coach Nurse said. He goes, I didn't even know I got the shoulder rub last night until somebody showed it to me a picture of it. He goes, I didn't even feel it. I was so locked into the game.
Yeah, right. He knows he has to take it, or the PR, because finally Toronto has someone with some street cred. The informer Snow is now not the official.
They've had the cast of You Can't Do That on television. I know that Barth had season tickets for years.
Well, Barth is more of an Argonauts guy.
The Bare Naked Ladies, they're always right there in the front row.
Oh, that's a winner.
Every time you say the Bare Naked Ladies, I get douche chills over that.
Song. 1 week since you laughed at me. Look at me, I got lyrics that are wacky.
It's not him. It's not him that's the problem.
Chicken to China, the Chinese.
Ooh,
chicken.
Don't do it. I feel so bad for him.
Cut it out.
I feel so bad for that guy.
I just think of cars full of just like annoying women singing Chicken to China.
He's got to live with
on their way to the club.
It's just the most pandering music
no,
ever.
He thought that he had like rhymes. And he did it on purpose.
Oh.
I feel so bad for that guy. I swear to God, I don't care how much money he has, that he has to live with having done that. That is just a disgrace.
made him a ton of money.
I don't care. What if you made a ton of money? Like, you know, I can't think of anything as embarrassing. Seth, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you got to think back. I think Drake is kind of repaying the favor, or he thinks it's okay, because when LeBron first came to L.A., LeBron went to a Drake show and stepped up on stage in the middle of sicko mode and starts saying, you know, singing the lyrics with Drake on stage. So maybe Drake thinks it's okay to do that at NBA.
If you don't think Drake knew that was going to happen, you're out of your mind. You know what? Oh my God! There's Drake,
LeBron, and Drake on the same stage. That is just a stage full of douche.
I mean, just sit down. Imagine if you had seats directly behind them. It just
that you paid how much for?
Oh, God, thousands. And then you got this guy, and you know you're like a captain of industry. I mean,
right.
It's not like.
Yeah, you're the CEO of a local company.
Or a
you're
national
sitting courtside,
company.
Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
You're the Prime Minister of Canada.
Whatever. This idiot's jumping around and making an ass out of himself right
and
in front of you.
Yeah, and you got to stand there, and that's everything that you see. From
and
the
it's not. And it's not like you could say, excuse me, sir, can you sit down?
No. You got to sit there and watch him dance around on the court. It's just that kind of crap bothers me. Like when they give Ben Affleck, like, special seats to the World Series.
Yeah, but he wasn't jumping around.
Yeah, but he's just sitting there next to the dugout.
No, but why should he get special seats? He's a multimillionaire.
Because the owner gave it to him.
Yeah, he's a multimillionaire.
Right.
They should give Bare Naked Lady seats to everything as reparations for how much he's embarrassed himself.
Chicken to China. The Chinese chicken. You can bump things.
And
can't
it's so things. Sad because you know he thought, like, I nailed it. Like, I got rhymes.
Watching X-Files with the lights on.
Where do they get a load of this on tour, man? People will have their cell phones up.
Because you know he'd be on the bus. We'll break in a second, but you know he'd be on the bus. And he'd be like, dude, I can, like, bust it, like, a little bit. Like, I got, like, rhymes.
I just made you say underwear.
And then the rest of the band is so stupid and goofy that they're like, yeah, dude. And then he went in there like to the, and he had all written out, and he was like, "Wow, this is fast!" And I'm making the, and then it comes out, and he's looking at it, he's listening to it, he's like, "Yeah, it's a hit."
Wow, you did it in one take. Nice job.
No, there's no way that was one take.
Hot like wasabi when I bust rhymes, like Leanne Aaron rhymes, because I'm all about value.
Everything is.
It's the movement when you say it that
everything
makes me laugh.
He goes, like.
Because he's got like these. He does the eyebrows.
I mean, really.
You get it?
Everything,
here it comes.
Everything is about like, though. Like, he goes to like. You have the lyrics of obviously.
I'm jumping right now. Let's see.
Like, there, it's just all like and comparing stuff.
I mean, I'm just looking at this.
It's a mix Curtis Blow basketball.
No, don't go
like
there.
Mozart. Come on there.
But you, Curtis Blow, come on.
Yeah, go listen to a Curtis Blow song now.
We just did it last week at this time.
And try to get all the way through it. All right, here are the headlines. We'll be back with the Bankroll Boys.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Man.
For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tetra and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub, no!
It's the Bankroll Boys.
Did that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bagamoney.
And the Onion.
Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash, Miss Cash.
Oh! It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your hand to the side and said I'm angry.
This isn't the embarrassing part.
No, but I mean, this is just a pop song.
This here's where it gets humiliating.
Now I want to hoodwink, does it make you stop, think? You think you're looking at Aquaman. I summon fish to the dish, although I like the chalet Swiss. I like the sushi, cause it's never touched a frying pan. Like wasabi when I bust rhymes. Speak like Leanne rhymes, because I'm all about value.
Oh yeah.
Camper's got the mad hits. You try to match wits, you try to hold me but I bust through. Can I make a break and take a pick out like a stinking ink and shake out like vanilla. It's the finest of the flavors. Oh. See the chokers and you know the vertigo is gonna go, cause it's so dangerous. You'll have to sign a waiver.
Can I think you're funny when you're mad.
You're missing
to feel bad.
You're missing the bad part.
We just listened to the bad
part. Yes, that was the bad part. Like, and he really thought he nailed it.
What place is your love for me?
He thought he nailed it.
Hey, you're really
all right,
wacky.
Enough of that. See, the fat guy that was like the heroin addict doesn't bother me. It's the guy who's the lead singer now. All right, the Bankroll Boys are brought to you by the all-new Sportsbook Rhode Island, now open at Twin River and Tiverton Casino Hotels.
Before we do anything, we have to discuss...
Hang on a second. Okay. I need to continue this read.
Oh, no, you're done with the read.
The only places in New England that you can legally bet on sports, powered by William Hill. Get details at sportsbetri.com.
We have to discuss something that has been sitting right in front of our studio since, I believe... Monday morning, this weekend, I'm sure, is when it was created. What is it? What do we call it? Lord Murray's Cup?
Lord Murray's Cup.
Okay, all right. So
chicken the Chinese, the Chinese chicken.
it is the equivalent. It is a, not scale model, but pretty close.
Yes.
The size of the Stanley Cup that you have made out of tinfoil and what?
Tinfoil and tape.
Okay.
So, yes, this weekend.
He's told me what it's made of, but I will not reveal that to the audience.
That does not matter. But, I ended up going on an excursion this weekend, Rich. And
can you take Rich there? He seems to be having trouble making the trip.
That's a country I have not been able to reach yet through many attempts.
Give him a passport.
I had another one this past weekend, and I got nowhere near it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of tinfoil, a lot of tape, a couple of Tupperware bowls, takeout bowls.
Just crush up some Ativan and start smoking. Stop wasting everyone's time.
So at one point were you just like, dude, I'm making a Stanley Cup, man. Let's go.
On Mother's Day, myself and Dan Lifshitz were on the air together after the game. The Bruins won like 6-2. Caller's like, we want the cup. We all was like, you know what? I'm going to make a cup. And then somebody's like, can you get the cup on a duck boat?
Yeah.
And I was like, I just, all right, let me just go make a cup. And I went to the dollar store, and $21 altogether.
Really?
To make this
stuff. So was the whole process while you were under the influence, or just like, did you already have the stuff at home?
He had to go to, like, the container store.
That's right.
That's the best time to be under the influence.
Started buying all this other stuff for a dollar. It was out of control.
And you said, let's just stop through the car wash while we're at it. Don't even need a wash.
Laser show at the Museum of Science on the way back.
Yeah, they were doing Dark Side of the Moon.
That's right.
Oh, man. Well, it's fantastic.
It's beautiful, though. I mean, this is...
Well made.
Very well made. You can watch it on Twitch, I'm sure. You can see it. I'll tweet it out. But, Lloyd Murray's Cup, and we won it on a duck boat, and... some fellow named Tony called in and said, if the Bruins win, it's going on the duck boat.
All right, okay. So everyone go to twitch.tv and you can see the aluminum foil cup. All right, Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz, the Over Under 98.5 podcast. Your thoughts on this final?
For me? In regards to, I actually think the Blues suit the Bruins a lot better than the Sharks did. I know everyone wanted to see the Sharks, but the high-end talent that they had there honestly scared the hell out of me. Plus all the breaks they've gotten constantly throughout the entire playoffs. I mean, they just got break after break after break. So I wanted nothing to do with the Sharks. I wanted the Blues. I think this is a better matchup, you know, just for viewing pleasure. I think that it's going to be a fantastic matchup. The Bruins are minus 160, which implies, like, what, like 61% odds or whatever.
What would you guys have it at? Like, just off the bat, would you think the Bruins should be favored in the series?
Oh, yeah. I would think so, the way they're playing. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. That's how Vegas has. It's a little juiced up locally, but I think 140, 145 is probably the right number.
Yeah, so I think it's probably I have it around like 145 range. 160 is probably a little bit too much. I think the technical value is on the Blues just in the line, but I'm hard pressed to go against the Bruins the way they've been playing. The problem is you really got to see how this break is going to affect them, but I also think the break is going to affect the Blues almost as equally. I mean, it's. At this point, the fact that the break is so long, I'm just not sure if it's going to really give one team an advantage or the other, to be honest with you.
I've never bet hockey before. Are there prop bets in hockey? There are in like the NFL?
Yep.
Like, what else can you bet on?
First goal? One big one is over under first period goals.
So first period, second period, third period. You can bet on the number of games the series is going to go, spread of the game.
What right now is the leader in the clubhouse as far as number of games? Do you know? Do you know how what Vegas is saying?
We talked about it on the podcast yesterday. It's favored to go six games, I believe.
Bruins and six.
Right now.
That's the heavy favorite. Yep.
So I believe it's six is plus 117 or plus 176. Seven and seven is plus 180.
All right,
so those are the two faves.
Okay, so Rask is far and away the favorite for the Conn Smythe.
Yeah, minus 120.
Far and away.
And is Bennington two? Is he second? Because I mean, the goalies obviously they get boosted up.
Bennington is not number two.
Yeah. He's not. No, one thing I think that was just interesting about the odds altogether. Rask, if they win, that's his trump card. He gets it. But Jaden Schwartz has been outstanding. That's some good value there, +325. If you think he wins the Conn Smythe, remember. The team doesn't have to win for someone to win the Conn Smythe. So just keep that in mind. And it's all about the whole entire playoffs. So Rask's been probably the best goaltender. Mm-hmm. And then you look at it, it's Bennington. But for me, it's Brad Marchand. That's the guy to look at. He's one of the top players in points throughout the whole entire playoffs. And if he has a strong Stanley Cup, and let's just say it's a – because I think it's going to be somewhat – we were looking at, probably favoring the under a little bit more than the over. But if that Marchand, Bergeron line, that as an analysis – that's what it's going to be. Bergeron's been quiet. That Tarasenko line's been really strong. And really, that's what it's going to come down to. I think Marchand's your value bet as winning the Conn Smythe. But the lock's probably Tuukka Rask.
Yeah, I think it's Bennington. I mean, I think at plus 350, kind of, he gives you that basically that Blues hedge. I think if the Blues win, he's going to be, he's going to have to be the guy who really stones the Bruins this series. Look, Bergeron line has to shut down the Tarasenko, Schwartz, Shen line. And so that's what they did to the Carolina Hurricanes. That's what they've done consistently throughout the playoffs. So that's what the Bruins are going to have them do to win the cup. In that case, I would definitely lean Bennington because he's going to have to be the guy who really leads St. Louis to victory.
Okay. All right. So now there's a couple other things that are going on right now. Kevin Durant, and I know we'll get to some of the NBA odds in a minute, but people... even his agent came out and said that Kevin Durant hasn't even decided where he's going to go. What are the odds right now as far as what team he's going to go to? Do you guys happen to know?
Knicks
is the leader in the clubhouse.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it depends on where you go. There were a few different places that have had odds. He opened as the favorite at Golden State at Bookmaker, which is the sharpest book around. That was quickly bet to the Knicks, becoming a large favorite. Same on BetOnline, same thing happened there. Now Bovada opened the Knicks as a -125 favorite to land Kevin Durant. Anyone who tells you that, anyone's agent who tells you they don't know where they're going yet is full of crap. I mean, we all,
obviously,
yeah.
I know that the Golden State GM came out and said that they're going to do everything they can to re-sign Kevin Durant.
They're fine without him. I mean, they're better with him, but they're fine without him.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I would.
And that's surprising to me. Like this Steph Curry thing.
He's amazing.
He really is. Five in a row now. Oh, you can't build around that type of player. There they are now.
It just goes to show you how much he subjugated his offense. I mean, it's amazing. The second Durant walks out the door, Steph Curry's exactly the same way he was 4 years ago.
Well, they're just a totally different team without Durant. They're doing ISO. They're actually moving the ball.
Draymond Green has been absolutely outstanding.
And that's the other thing. I mean, Draymond Green got lost a little bit.
Yep.
I mean, he does so many things. Handle the basketball, play great defense, shoot threes, and you're seeing that now. Again, he kind of almost forgot he was capable of all of this.
Now there's something rather insulting in this.
We'll just skip right over that. Golden State will win it all.
Yeah, we only have so much time.
Okay.
All right, this Kyle Bailey fellow from Charlotte said that he's going to be in town with his in-laws, and that he said that he wanted to face me like a man, and I said, sure. If you can find me in my personal life, I'm not going to tell you where I'm going to be. I'm certainly not doing anything for charity. I'll fight you. And I am a dog in this thing.
Well, we polled five people, and we wanted to get the right odds. So Lifshatz kind of skewed them a little bit here. But
I was helpful for you.
Right now, we have Kyle Bailey as a slight favorite.
I'm on home ice.
But here's the deal, okay? Kyle Bailey looks a little chiseled. Maybe it's a little suck-in. But Mike Lockhart brought up a great point. This could be a one-punch knockout.
Oh.
But Lifshatz made a great point. That guy's a tool. He's a stiff. And I would not back him by any. So give me Fred Tucker plus the 115, baby.
If I saw him, I would knock him out with one punch. He has the biggest punch me face I think I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, yeah.
I hate his smile.
Oh, yeah.
If he doesn't want to fight you, Fred, I'll fight him.
I also imagine the guy taking a swing at Fred and then the entire village turning on that dude. So that's
it depends where I am. If I'm at a bar, it's not going to go well for him.
So just based off physical...
At the JCC.
If I'm at the JCC, Kyle Schwartz is going to get involved and go nuts on him. All right. And the Game of Thrones very quickly.
It was trash.
Yeah.
It was absolute trash.
Did they end up getting their money back if you bet on who took the Iron Throne?
No one sat on the Iron Throne.
Nope. I won with Bran.
Yeah, it hit.
Plus 1,200, so it did hit, and they did cash it.
Oh, right. I'm surprised. All right.
The Stone Cold Lock of the Week is brought to you by the all-new Sportsbook Rhode Island, now open at Twin River Casino Hotel. What's going on?
So, two things. Last week, we lost the Warriors and the Tiger Woods sucked, so we lost those. So, we need to make up one. But we've shared this on the podcast. I think the way to go is do a parlay, Golden State Warriors, and whoever comes out of the NBA. I'm going to take the Toronto Raptors to win the series at plus 225 to come back. So, a series tied 2-2, but it's in Milwaukee tonight. I like Toronto to represent the Eastern Conference. So.
It took him a while to get him on my side. He said after game one it was over. So I'm happy he came over to our side. Yeah, we're on the Raptors. So Raptors in the series plus 225 or 235, whatever you got it at.
All right, there you go. Over under 98.5 podcast, Dan Lifshatz. Joe Murray, thank you so much for coming in. We will be back in just a moment, and we will experience some of the hardcore St. Louis Blues fans and what they have to say on the internet.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.